But I certainly ask an interest in your prayers, and I am very thankful to be here, and I'm very thankful for this morning's devotional. Amen. And I'm thankful for the lessons that have already been presented, and I'm ready to try to speak to you to the lesson title, It Is Written. And I want to begin with just going through about five or six verses. First, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, Solomon wrote, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." In Proverbs 9:9, he said, "Give instructions to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase learning." Now, I'm going to comment on some of the things here for a moment that have already been said. One of those things, Brad said in the beginning, when the service was open today, that we are here to learn. And I believe that. I believe that every one of you sitting out there feels that way, that you came here in hopes of learning something today. It's important as ministers of the gospel that we increase learning. It's very important that we learn more and more. And some of you, brethren, that are here today have been in the ministry more than 50 years, maybe some more than 60 years. But I'm going to say this, and I absolutely believe this about these brethren, or I wouldn't say it, but I believe even after that many years in the ministry and all the preaching that they've done, they've still got a desire to learn more about God. Amen. And more about His Word. And we need to be ever increasing in the knowledge of the Word of God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, the Apostle Paul wrote that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, in Brother Scott Carter's lesson, he told us the importance of trusting the Lord and moving when the Spirit of God moves us. Trusting in the Lord and obeying in Him. And he spoke about how if we are willing to do that, that we will just be amazed with the things that God will show us. And so as Paul here wrote about increasing in the knowledge of God, we can learn more about God by what we experience when we will follow His Spirit and He shows us His great power. We can learn, we can gain a greater knowledge of God Himself in that way. And we also gain a greater knowledge of Him by diligently studying His holy word. I want to say this, that I am very thankful for God's written word. And I want to read just a few things about that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." In 2 Peter chapter 1, in verses 20 and 21, it says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And so as you know, the word Scripture refers to that which is written. Scripture refers to something that is a document. It's holy writ. And so in John chapter 17 and verse 17, and this was a statement made by Jesus himself when he was in prayer. He was praying for his disciples, and he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And so all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's all profitable. It was penned down by holy men as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and it is the truth. Amen. In fact, it's the truth and nothing but the truth. Amen. It's the whole truth. And so the Apostle Paul charged Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Now, I wanted to share the three verses that I did about Scripture being given by the inspiration of God, about Scripture being the truth, as a reminder to us that we need to remain very much aware every time we are going to preach God's word, every time we're going to teach a lesson, we need to remain very much aware of what it is that we are handling. Amen. And we need to be very, very cautious with the word of God. And the Apostle Paul told Timothy to preach it. Amen. That's what he told him to preach. "I charge you to preach the word of God, not to tell stories, but to preach the word of God." Amen. And he told him to be instant, in season, out of season. He told him to rebuke and to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And I'm going to tell you that none of us can do those things without having a good knowledge of the word of God. You cannot reprove, you cannot rebuke, you cannot exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine if you don't know God's word. And so it's important that we continue to learn. And again, that we remember what it is. You know, listen, the ministry is no joke, is it? Because it's God himself that called us to preach. And what he called us to preach is his word. And I'm going to tell you, God is absolutely serious about his word. And so I want us to consider something. This is found in Matthew chapter 22. And this is verses 23 through 30 of that chapter. This is an encounter that Jesus had with the Sadducees. It says, "The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and ask him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." Now, I want you to consider something in this, that they came to him, the Sadducees came to Jesus, and they said, Moses said, If a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. You can find that in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5. And so they were aware, obviously, the Sadducees were aware of what had been written, of what Moses had said. But yet Jesus told them, you don't know the scriptures. You err because you don't know the scriptures. Well, they knew what it said, but evidently they didn't have a clue what it meant. And not only that, but they came to him asking him a question about something that they didn't even believe in. The Sadducees didn't even believe there was a resurrection. But I want you to consider with me for a moment how Jesus handled this situation. He didn't tell them, you err because you're idiots. He didn't say, you're in error because you're just plain stupid. He said, you err because you don't know the scriptures. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe that probably most of you have had this happen. If you haven't, I think you're going to have it happen. But you're going to have some people that are going to ask you some weird questions. I mean, you're going to have people that are going to ask you some bizarre questions. I've had people say, well, Brother Miller, doesn't the Bible say this? And I have no idea where it came from. And may have been some missionary Baptist preacher that told them it was there. I don't know. We need to be really careful what we say.
Amen.
But there again, we're here to help people, aren't we?
Amen.
We're here to teach. We're here to try to instruct people. And there's a lot of people that are not like the Sadducees. There's a lot of people that have these crazy ideas in their mind, but yet they're serious. They believe it because maybe they heard somebody say it or something like that. And we need to be patient with them, and we need to try to teach people. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Well, before I read this, let me say this. I want to make another acknowledgement to Old Union, about Old Union Church. I believe this church believes that it's greatly important that ministers continue to learn.
Amen.
Because think of all the number of years this school has gone on and the work that this church has put into that, and they wouldn't go through all that if they didn't believe that, would they? They wouldn't provide this place for us from year to year if they didn't believe it was extremely important for us to continue to learn. And so Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Dissecting and correctly expounding upon the word of truth. The word study there means to be diligent or to exert yourself or to endeavor. The Greek word spoudazo in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 14, wherefore beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, coming from that same word that study was taken from in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Same word. 1 Thessalonians 2, 17, but we, brethren, being taken from you a short time in presence, not in heart endeavored, the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Ephesians 4 and 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so this word teaches us that we are to diligently endeavor diligently, seek the knowledge of the Word of God that we might be pleasing to the Lord. Not to try to make ourselves look good or sound good, but that we might be pleasing unto the one who called us. There are three things I want to mention. I think it's important that we know what the Bible says. I think it's important that we know where it says it. And I think it's very important that we know what it means. I guess I'll say one more thing. It's very important that we have the wisdom to know what scripture to use at the right time. We need, as ministers of the gospel, we certainly need to know the scriptures and know them well. And those who hold the office of pastor, listen, pastors, I think we all know this is true. Those who hold the office of pastor need to instruct the flock over which we have been given the oversight. We need to teach them how important it is that they too study the scriptures diligently. That they know the scriptures, that they, when they hear the word of God preached, that they need to know if they're hearing the truth or not. Amen. If you don't know what's right and what's wrong, you won't hear it. You won't know it when you hear it. And so I believe it's very important, and I think we have a great scriptural example of this in Acts chapter 17. In verses 10 and 11, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And so we need to teach those to whom we minister to do that. Now, as far as I know, Brother Billy Moran, he's now the oldest teacher here at Old Union. And I believe that he has set a really good example in what I'm talking about. And if you've heard him preach, then you've heard what I'm getting ready to say. Brother Moran has been blessed, and I'll just have to say it, he's old. I mean, God has given him many years, and he's old. And we've seen how that his age has affected him. Because I remember when he used to just quote scripture after scripture after scripture, and we've seen that he struggles to do that. I'm just saying this as a matter of fact, and he knows that. But I'm going to tell you, I've never said this to him, but I mean, he has really impressed me with this. Every time I've heard him, when he is beginning to quote a verse of scripture, and he can't quite get it out, he never stops and says, oh, well, it says something like that. You know what he'll do? He'll say, I might not be able to quote it right now, but I can read it. And he'll turn to it and he'll read it, I mean verbatim. Amen. Amen. And so what I've always taken from that is he does not want to misrepresent in any way what God's word says. Amen. And I think we should take a lesson from that, because we do not need to get up in the pulpit and say the Bible says this and tell people that the Bible says this if it doesn't say it. Amen. I don't know, there's probably several of you, I don't know who all was here. Several years ago, Brother Keith Freeze, when he was teaching here, he taught a lesson and it was entitled, Know Your Bible. And I remember one of the points that he made in that lesson was that we don't need to be doing that. He talked about preachers that he had heard preach, and these things that they said were in the Bible. And he said, when I went to look for them, I couldn't find them. But they told me they were there. And so we need to be very careful. If we say the Bible says, then those that hear us need to be able to go and find that the Bible says it. And I'm going to say this, that we should not be comfortable with, when we're trying to read something or quote something, we should not be comfortable with not getting God's word right. Amen. That should bother us. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 12 through 16, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, I believe that if you've been called to preach, if you've been called to preach the Word of God, and you can't read, you need to try to learn to read. If you struggle with your reading, you need to try to improve upon your reading. I believe it's important when we stand before people that not only, certainly it's important that we properly explain the Word of God, that we rightly divide the Word of truth, but it's important that we read it right as well. Because I believe there's a great benefit in that. I'll say this one more thing. I remember from 1990 to 2000, I pastored Pleasant Valley Missionary Baptist Church in Washington, Illinois. And one year in the late 90s, we had our summer revival. And Brother Moran came to help us in that meeting. And he was preaching, and I mean, he was just quoting scripture after scripture, and then all of a sudden, it just kind of went away. And he said, he probably doesn't remember this, but I do. He said, and Jesus said, and he just stopped. And man, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to see how he recovers. And then he just kind of looked at us all. He said, I guess I just don't know what he said. But he said, I can read it. And you know what? He knew exactly where it was at. Amen. Listen, I believe we ought to all strive to learn to quote the scriptures. As much as you can learn to quote, as much of the scriptures as you can say accurately without a Bible in your hand, that's great. Because I hope that all of us are encountering people from time to time and talking to them about the Lord, and we don't have a Bible right there in our hands, but we need to know the Scriptures. Amen. And I'm going to get to that here in a minute as I get to the title of the lesson. We live in a time, and I believe perhaps there was a time past, because of the situation that young men were in, young boys were in when they were growing up, because of what they had to do in order to help the family. There was a time when they were, it was more acceptable, it was more understood that they did not have access to very much formal education, and some of them didn't learn to read very well, and God called them into the ministry, and God certainly blessed them and helped them when they preached. But listen, we're not living in those times, are we? I mean, we have access to so many ways that we can learn. And let me say this. It is possible to pronounce Old Testament names. It can be done. Amen. Now, you might pronounce this name Zerubbabel. You might pronounce it Zerubbabel. And if you're reading that to somebody, I believe they can understand one of those ways, but his name was not Zucchini. Or Zabadoobadal. And I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying I believe it's important that we can read. When you preach, there's a likelihood during your sermon, there's the likelihood that somewhere along the way, somebody may realize that you're not the sharpest tool in the shed. But we don't need to start out that way. We don't need to start out right out of the gate that way because we can't read. At least if we know how to read, we might look smart even if we're not. So, I think it's important. I mean, Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to a young preacher and said, give attendance to reading. We should read. The statement it's written, found many times throughout the Bible, and of course, when it's said, it doesn't mean it's written in the sky, it's written in the stars, it's written in holy writings. It's the Word of God. And when you read those words, and I've done this many times, maybe others have, when you're reading, it's found a lot in the New Testament scriptures, but when you're reading that and somebody says it is written, you might read that and you might think it's saying nothing more than it's referencing a verse of scripture. You may think all it means is that this was written in holy writings. But I believe it means more than that. And when I was working on this lesson and preparing this lesson, I came across this statement, and I think it's very accurate. It is written is referring to a passage from the Scriptures that is relevant to the current discussion. And when you read, when you are studying the New Testament and you come across that statement, you find that's true. Whoever says it's written, they're using scripture that deals with perhaps the situation they're having, they're in, the conversation they're having. So it means more than it's just written there. It's relevant to what's being discussed or what's being dealt with. And in Matthew chapter 4, in verses 1 through 11, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus didn't say, I don't like bread. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I left one out where the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they'll bear thee up at any time, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So Jesus used this as a weapon when he was battling the devil. And in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus about putting on the whole armor of God, one of those things is, he said, one of those pieces of armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We've already been told today that the devil is going to try to disrupt us. And so Jesus taught us that the Word of God works. It's a powerful tool. It's a powerful weapon that we can even fight against the wiles of the devil with. Think about all the Old Testament scriptures. And I'm just saying this as an example of what I was saying about how the term it is written deals with what's relative at the time. Because think about all the Old Testament scriptures that talk about bread, or that talk about tempting God, or that talk about worshiping someone or something other than God. Think about all those scriptures that Jesus could have used. But he used the ones that he did. Obviously, there were none that were more relevant to the current situation when he used them. He used the exact script. He used the exact scripture to give the exact reason, as to why he took such action. When he went into when Jesus went into the temple, Matthew chapter 21, in verses 12 through 13, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Why? Why did he do that? Because he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. He didn't quote Malachi 3:1 when, as a reason why he did that. He didn't say, he didn't quote what's written in Malachi 3:1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. and the Lord whom you speak shall suddenly come to his temple. No, he said, he told them that he did this because it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. Mark chapter 9. In verses 9 through 13, concerning the transfiguration, it says, as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another, what the rising from the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, why say the scribes that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things, and how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. And so when we read these things, whether it was Jesus doing battle with the devil, if it was him talking to the Sadducees about some crazy belief that they had, if it was him talking to his disciples about something, Jesus was concerned by doing what was written. And that's how we should be. Let me tell you something, that what the Word of God says supersedes by far what you and I think. It's been said, I believe, too many times among our churches when very important situations are being dealt with, the word, well, this is what I think we should do, that statement is made too many times. Amen. Let's look to the Word of God. Amen. Let's try to find out what the Lord would have us to do. I believe there's much instruction in his word that perhaps we haven't even found it yet. Amen. And that's why we need to increase learning. Amen. He said in Mark chapter 14, verse 21, the Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good it were for that man if he had never been born. In the writings of Paul, he stated frequently, it is written. Now, remember, they didn't have the Bible like we have it. And oftentimes, I'm convinced that when they said it is written, this is where they got it from. Amen. They knew it. And I believe God had helped Paul to know the scriptures. And I believe he could help us to know the scriptures. Amen. In Romans chapter 1, in verses 16 and 17, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, Habakkuk 2:4. And I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there, but I've got the feeling when Paul said that, he didn't pull open a scroll and read it. He just knew what it said. I want to ask you something. Have you said this? Have you told yourself this? Have you said, I can't learn how to just quote scriptures. I can't say. I've heard this said a lot of times. I've heard, and again, I'm not making fun of myself. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. I've heard a lot of preachers, missionary Baptist preachers, say, I just can't, those Old Testament names, I can't say it. I can't pronounce them. Well, let me ask you, have you tried? I mean, have you in your study, have you taken those names and laid them out and written them before you and tried to figure out the proper way to say them? Or have you just decided, I can't do this? Well, you're not going to do it if you don't try. You're not going to be able to do it if you don't put forth the effort. You know, I have a cell phone. Any of you all got one of those? You know what I can do with that little bitty phone? I can take that phone and put an Old Testament name in it, and somebody will come on the other end. I don't know how they got in there, but somebody will come on the other end and tell me how to say it right. Isn't that something? They didn't have that 100 years ago, did they? But we do. We've got access to so many study aids that there's really no excuse. And I'll say this, that really I think that that's a lot better use of that little thing that you pay for, you know, every month. I think it's a lot better to use it to learn how to pronounce Bible names than it is to tell somebody what you're going to have for supper. Amen. Or to play games. And I won't take that back. We have technology, but we ought to use it for God. Amen. We ought to use it for the Lord. We ought to use it to try to learn. Amen. And going through some of these statements of Paul, Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 37, he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Shall they? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We already heard that, haven't we? Aren't you glad that that's written? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I'm not going to get through all of this. And so I'm going to jump ahead. We ought to know the scriptures because there's people out there that we encounter that need to hear the scriptures. They need to hear the word of God. And again, we find ourselves oftentimes in situations where we're talking to somebody and we need to be able, and God can help us with this. We need to be able to readily pull up what the word of God says that we may help them. And I believe we have an example of that in Acts chapter 8 in verses 26 through 35. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, let me ask you something. That man got saved. And don't you believe that he's eternally grateful that somebody came along that day that knew what the scriptures meant? Listen, I hope that all of us are talking to people outside of the walls of our church buildings. I hope we're out there talking to people, talking to them about the Lord, and we need to know what to tell them. And lacking wisdom is no excuse, because I read this in the Epistle of James. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. God will give us that wisdom. Amen. If we'll seek him for it. So in conclusion, may God's holy word be to us what the psalmist David said it was to him. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. May we apply it as he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word, and may we never forget forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's the truth. It's always been the truth. It's still the truth. And it'll be the truth when this world is burning. Amen. Thank you for listening. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? If you found yourself preaching and all of a sudden you found out you thought you could quote this scripture, but all of a sudden you realize you couldn't. And you said, well, but I can read it. And when you turn there, you couldn't do that either. I'm going to stress this again. Reading is important. It's important. We shouldn't take it lightly.